I'm your host, Nate Newman, and as always, I have the illustrious Judge Gonzo with me.
Your favorite foul-mouthed fucking chucklehead from the USA.
Okay, will I get to yell?
Oh, you're going to get to yell.
Well, then it's going to be fun.
Well, I want to know, how the fuck did we go from weddings to how do you foot spot a sociopath?
This is what we do. Dude, what? Again? Hold on. I got to fucking sit right. Wait. Let me stretch out my shorts for this shit.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to this episode of Not So Secret Dad's Business. This episode is Best Bits Part 3. So this episode, I actually hit Judge up and I said, hey, Judge, I want to know what are your favourite clips that I haven't already played in the last two episodes. And so he gave me some gold. We got three clips coming up. And you know what? I think he picked some real good stuff. Now, before we get into the first clip, I just want to remind everybody, we are back next week and we'll be kicking off 2024, season four of the podcast with our first live episode. So we're going to be live at 9 p.m. New Jersey time on the Friday night, and it'll be 1 p.m. on the Saturday here in Sydney. So I can't wait for that one. Judge and I are going to have some fun, because guess what? It's going to be a 100th episode, baby. 100 episodes of Not So Secret Dad's Business. How awesome is that? So anyway, to kick off this Best Bits episode, we've got this first clip, and it comes from an episode published on the 7th of August, 2022, and it's titled Dad Talk with Jeff Marshall, Part 1. So in this clip, we're talking about all our favorite video games when we were kids and, you know, just sort of going down memory lane and talking about our golden oldies, you know. So, yeah, if you're on Spotify or you want to send us a message or whatever, tell us what your favorite video game as a kid was. What was your most underrated video game that you love but most people just didn't take to?
Speaking of which, do you guys remember the urban legend about the game Polybius?
I haven't heard about it.
You want to get your fucking sack blown off right now? Hold up. There was a game that came out, like, you could look it up. Apparently, it was like an urban legend or like a Russian, like, during the fucking 80s. This freestanding game named Polybius popped up all over the place. The game had no concept. It was a bunch of flashing lights and, like, fucking angles and stuff like that. And you'd move from level to level, but no one ever knew what the concept was. Apparently, the urban legend was it was put there, shipped here by Russian scientists. And what it would do, according to the urban legend, was it would steal information from, like, kids and people who played it based on it's it's probably not true. But when I heard that shit, I'm like, that is fucking bonkers, dude. Like, you can look it up. It's fucking crazy. I'm sure that's what Nate's doing right now.
I'm looking at it now. Polybius is an urban legend concerning a fictitious 1981 arcade game. The legend describes the game as part of a government-run crowdsourced psychology experiment based in Portland, Oregon. Gameplay was supposedly produced intense psychoactive and addictive effects in the player.
How fucking crazy is that, dude? That's like going into the fucking game, man. Like, it's like suggestions and shit. That's fucking nuts.
Oh, shit. There's a video on it, too. I'm going to have to go on a YouTube and have a look at that later.
Oh, I think they did a whole documentary about it where, like, this game system, who you couldn't find out who they were made from and shit. Like, it was fucking people up. But did you remember what they had to do to, I think it was Star Wars, the game for Nintendo, the one that nobody liked? Apparently, when no one fucking bought them, they went to the desert and buried a whole bunch of them. And, like, they're still there because that shit ain't going to decompose. I think it was Star Wars, but it was one of them games that, like, they thought were going to sell like crazy, but no one ever bought them. So they had to bury a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, bringing it back, the underrated games, right, that you wanted to know about, Judge. And for me,
I got two, so you can go first.
I think for me, it would be a game called Top Gear on the Super Nintendo. I don't know if you guys ever played it.
That's the racing joint, right?
Yeah. And yeah. It had the cool little techno music to it and everything. And I always chose the white car because it had the boost right off the starting line. And yeah, it was an awesome game.
Jeff, what about you? Underrated game that you played that you tried to get people to buy, like, it just didn't hit for a lot of people.
It was that AIDS Odyssey.
Oh, AIDS Odyssey, yes.
I never, dude, explain that shit to me because I never heard of it.
It was like
before.
This little lizard.
He was an alien.
He's an alien, that's it, yeah. It was like a little lizard looking dude, and he just goes around. I mean, I can't even remember playing it, but what was that noise he used to make? It was like a.
Yeah, it was like,
that's it, yeah. It was fucking weird, man. And like you go and it just kind of like Sonic the Hedgehog style, but a bit more futuristic.
Okay.
Where you're just like walking from left to right and shit comes up and you collect stuff and you know, but yeah, that was fucking, man.
Yeah, because he's trying to break out of the facility, eh? That's what it was. It, he's trying to make his way out of the facility, and he has to save all his friends of his species and shit.
That's it. I haven't played it for 20 years, but I just remembered it then.
And I think another one as well was Earthworm Jim. Like, I love playing that game, but so many people thought it was shit. But I thought the Earthworm Jim game was awesome, man.
Well, you guys are fucked. Because now once a day, I'm going to send you guys both voice messages, go, and I'm just going to fucking hang up. Have you guys ever played Worms Armageddon?
Fuck yes.
Oh my God, it's the fucking best.
Give me the cluster bomb any day.
That game is fucking nightmare fuel for like drunks. If you've never heard of fucking Worms Armageddon, it is literally exactly how it sounds. You're a team of worms that on the computer version, you could pick your country. So they all had accents and shit. And then when they redid it, I think for Super Nintendo or PlayStation, they didn't. Like, you pick different teams and you could name them. So Worms Armageddon is you get dropped into a terrain. You're a bunch of fucking worms. You're allowed so many moves, and then you have to use a weapon. The weapon list, Nate, what, was like 40 or 50 fucking weapons long?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was precise. Because you had to like lob shit and shoot shit and you couldn't see the whole screen. You could scan forward, but it wouldn't stay like that. Like you couldn't zoom out.
Yeah,
so you could shoot shit. Dude, the holy hand grenade was my shit because when you threw it, it sang hallelujah and then fucking blew up. That game was so much fun. I want them to redo that one so we could play it like online from overseas and shit. That game was the shit. Jeff, you ever play Worms Armageddon?
But it sounds like Scorched Earth. So you're these little tanks and you like everyone, and it was on the, I think it was on the 64, and I think you can even get it now. We used to sit around drinking, playing Scorched Earth, because you're just this little, there's a blue, pink and fucking like pixel sort of tank. And okay. you pick a bomb and then you fire it up and over and you got like a trajectory.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So it's kind of the same. Yeah.
And so you know, your trajectory up this to across that and you're trying to blow up the other guy and you pick a different weapon all the time and it sounds a bit like that.
See, what I loved about Worms 2, Worms Armageddon, like the whole Worms franchise,
yeah.
I think my favourite, just for the last, was the kamikaze. Because, of course, you would be sacrificing a worm, but you choose kamikaze and the little worm, he'd tie on a Japanese headband. And then
they didn't give a fuck.
Kamikaze!
Yep. Actually, my favorite move was the poke. If you had someone down to one HP, you could be a dickhead and you just go over with your worm and you poke them and they die. It was such a dick move.
Well, they'd be right on the edge of a cliff and just poke!
Oh my God, that's right. If you fell into the water, you died.
I gotta play this game.
So mine came out for GameCube, right? Do you guys remember GameCube?
Yeah, I remember the GameCube. It was brief, but it was good.
Yeah. They put out the best game I've ever played. And when I bring it up, either people go, I never heard of that one. Or they're like, holy shit, that was the best fucking game I ever played. It was called Eternal Darkness.
Oh,
you remember it?
Yes, it's amazing.
Dude, Eternal Darkness was this fucking game where I think it was two discs, because it was back when you used to switch the discs.
Yeah.
You were a relative of this rich guy and you were trying to kind of solve this mystery. Just to find out that they were all involved in like Lovecraftian monsters. And when you played it, you can choose what your god was, like the god that you used the power of. And you had magic and shit like that, but you had a sanity meter. Okay. Sanity meter, as they went down, shit would happen to the character. When it got too low, shit started to happen to you, right? So at one point, I'm playing the game. The Saturday meters were low. I'm playing home alone. And all of a sudden, the volume on my TV starts going down. I'm like, am I sitting on the fucking remote? And this flash goes off on the screen. You hear somebody laughing. And I was like, get me the fuck out of this house. And at one point, it went to like the blue screen because at the point, like everybody needed to be on channel 3. And I'm like, what the fuck happened to the TV? Dude, it would fuck with you as a person. One time you go to try to save the game and it said deleting files and you'd be hitting power. That was all part of the game. But that was only step one. Step two was you could replay it as representative of the different god. Now, the one main god is like this lump of fucking eyeballs. I forgot what the name was, but he was purple, right? When you beat it with everyone, it unlocks the purple one for you. And you're like, oh, shit. Like, and it's super powerful. This fucking dude, all the magic, you can run right through the game. After you beat the game with the purple god, the big purple god, I think his name is Mantarok, was in multiple time streams. So he had you as the character, and every time you played it, kill one of the different gods, so he was the only one left. So if you beat it with all three gods and then beat it with, like, the corrupt god, it showed you, like, multiple endings of how he planned it all just for you to kill the rest of the gods. It had nothing to do with the mystery. Like, it had nothing to do with the mystery of your family. That's what you thought it was, and it wasn't even that. That fucking game was incredible, dude. Incredible.
Yeah, man. I used to play that one with my uncle and his best mate, and... Yeah,
dude,
we'd play it in the middle of the night. All the lights were off. We'd have popcorn and Doritos and shit. And we'd just be crapping ourselves all night. It was amazing. Yeah. Speaking of scary games, though, do you remember, I think it was called Nightmare? Something like that. And it was a game where you had to put the VHS in. And it had, like, the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, I remember that. It was an old dude. Old dude, and he got older as you played it or something.
Right. He started decaying or something throughout then in the end, he's like this old fucking, yeah, man. That was a cool game.
Yo, hold on. Jeff, I need your live opinion on this. We brought this up on another show. We started talking about VR and how people who play horror games on VR are fucking psychopaths. Like, I don't want to hear shit. Like, look, if you are one of those people, God bless you. I'm not doing it. Like, one of my favorite YouTubers, Mad Vlad, so fucking shouts to Mad Vlad. He just played Five Nights at Freddy's on VR. It's a fucking heart attack, dude. It's a fucking heart attack. They have, and I brought this up to Nate, they have an Exorcist VR game. They have 7 chapters in which you need to go to different people's houses and exorcise demons. Who the fuck in their right mind is playing that game in VR? Like, I want to meet you. Like, I want to know who the fuck it is. So what's your stance on Exorcist? Look at his face. Dude, so what's your stance on Exorcist VR? Exactly.
So, I've never played VR. I've only seen it on certain videos that you're not meant to watch when your missus is around. Right? Yeah. Don't judge me. Everyone's done it. You know, you're fucking
I did it, but you can't do it on PlayStation anymore. So I had the Oculus glass, like just the glasses.
Yeah.
And you slide your phone in. It's kind of choppy and shit. But if you have the Oculus, like the one, like the one not attached to PlayStation,
yeah,
when it goes to a computer, you could watch porn and fucking fuck anime girls like all day, apparently. I'm like, that's what I'm getting me for Christmas. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, but there's a British gangster game called Blood and Truth. It feels and looks like you're in a Guy Ritchie movie. And it's so long, dude. Like, you're rappelling in from shit. You get, like, multiple guns, and it's in VR. So, like, if someone's shooting at you, you have to move. It's not like when you were kids and you act like if you went like this, your character would jump higher because you're all fucking dopes, right? Like, you have to move. If you don't move, that's your ass.
Yeah,
shit right. Still jumps out at you. I'm like, dude, VR is fucking nuts. And then someone told me that not this last Resident Evil, the one before it. Did you hear about this fucking thing? So the first VR game that they put out for Resident Evil, a friend of mine's like, dude, you should get it. I'm like, I don't play horror VR. Like, I don't. I'm like, wait, Resident Evil? So I get a gun and go around. She's like, nah, not exactly. I'm like, what is it? He goes, ever see Texas Chainsaw Massacre? I said, yeah. He's like, Remember the weird hick family that like locked you to a table and was like eating like and like feeding you flesh? I said, like, yeah. He's like, that's part of that game. So you're trapped in a house of psychos, like hillbilly, you're like down fucking home, like still living on a plantation, like that shit. I ain't playing that fucking game, dog. Like, I'm not touching that game. I'll watch somebody play it. Yeah. Dude, I'll watch. I will watch someone play that game. I'm not playing that fucking game.
Boy, that clip brings back some childhood memories for me. I used to love playing Worms Armageddon. And Eternal Darkness, like Judge said, that used to fuck with your head. And the way it would alter your TV settings and stuff, it was a really cool game. And honestly, I miss it. I'd love to be able to go back and play that one sometime. Anyway, this next clip we've got coming up, it comes from an episode that we actually featured a clip from last week. It was published on the 30th of April, 2022. And this one is titled Wedding Plan Obstacles, Nate's Wedding Self-Sabotage, and Sociopathic Open Relationships. So this one, Judge tells me a little bit of a story about how he has some friends who seemed like the perfect couple on the outside, but it just turned really, really bad. What I liked about this clip as well is that Judge actually poses a question to us to see if you're a sociopath or not. So try this little scenario, this little question on the people around you. Just see what you get out of them.
On the tail end of that, I got possibly a story worse than both of ours. Strap the fuck in, because this is about to get fucking crazy. I got two friends, names will be removed, together forever. High school sweethearts, video games, old school, old school Nintendo heads that had like an old school, like they had every system when they got married, they had Zelda tattoos, the whole thing. It was like nerd love. You said one, the other one was there. Like love, like you read about, right? You know the story of John Wayne Gacy, right?
Yeah, I know John Wayne Gacy. Yeah, that's a really interesting story, that one.
Shook hands of presidents, went to kids' parties, then you find out motherfucker was burying people under his house, right? You never know. Never know. So they're together. They're married. They also have an open relationship. Okay. She tried to rope me in. And I said, all right, well, I got to talk to him. Like, because that time I wasn't with anybody. I said, all right. But she's like, but you got to understand something. Like, got real. You got to understand something. He is husband. I can have boyfriends. That is husband. He comes first, no matter what. But I was like, that's really fucking dope. Because I never knew any open relationships to work. I had a bunch of them because I knew they didn't work and I didn't give a fuck, right? So I said, oh my God, absolutely. About a week later, I go out to the movies with my friend Samantha Max. She's awesome. And I got a phone call from him. I was like, what's up? He goes, hey, are you and blah, like starting something up? I said, yeah. I was like, she didn't tell, like I figured she would talk, like I showed you, no. And she's like, no, she never mentioned it. Now, because I knew that they were thick thieves, dude. I was like, you know what? Maybe it slipped her mind because there's no way. Because the first thing she said was, he's husband. You could be boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. No problem. He said, no, I got no problem with it. Maybe she told me I wasn't listening. I was like, that makes more sense, right? She's sending me text messages. I can't wait for us to hang out. I'm going to cook you dinner and blah, blah, blah. He's sending me text messages going, dude, she's so excited to go hang out with you for the weekend, blah, 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 the whole thing. But they knew that they came first. And I was like, maybe I finally found one relationship that actually worked. Okay. Fast forward. About a month ago, I find out that they split. And this is one of them splits where you're like, what, are you fucking kidding me? That's crazy. Like, someone had to kill somebody because that's the kind of relationship. I mean, matching tattoo, the whole thing. All their likes were the same. Video games, anime, and cosplay. Everything was the same, dude. They were like connected. He calls me up crying. I said, what the fuck happened? Turns out she was allowed to have whatever boyfriend she wanted. She was also having boyfriends that he didn't know about. Now, you are allowed to date whoever you want. All you got to do is tell him. That's it. He didn't care. She didn't care. He had girlfriends. She had boyfriend.
All you had to do was say something. She was doing it for a minute. And how she got busted was homeboy has a Facebook, put her up on something, tagged her in the picture, hanging out with my girlfriend, blah, 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 the whole thing. They got a mutual friend. Someone messaged him, be like, who the fuck is this dude? Turns out they were dating for a minute. Never told him. Kept it low until social media came and fucked everything up. Turns out this dude was someone she worked with. He was probably fucking around for a while. And she had asked my friend, I'm going to start dating this dude. He said, all right, well, I want to meet him. Didn't make the connection that was the same person. Dude came over mad disrespectful too, right? Like at one point, my friend was sitting and the dude said, well, you're going to stand and talk to me like a man. I said, whoa, wait a minute.
Not my fucking house.
That's what he said. He was like, motherfucker, you're in my house. So they had already made the deal that they wanted to push my friend out. So all of the bluster and bravado was to make that happen, right? So he calls me crying. Oh, I'm going to try and work it out. I said, listen to me right now. You have to assume now that she's been fucking since day one. Because this didn't just happen. It didn't just happen.
No, it's been going on longer than that.
I said, you have to assume that all the boyfriends she cleared with you, there's just as many that she didn't. You got to let that one rock. And then I'm like, now it makes sense. When she came to me and said, he's going to know no problem. Now it makes sense that he called me and had no fucking idea. Because she wasn't going to tell him about me either. Talking about he already knows. So I was like, what the fuck? Yo, the next day, he starts moving his shit out. She comes home in a car with dude in the car talking about, well, you can stay until you find somewhere to be. Yo, with dude in the car talking about, well, you can stay, like, he's going to come here to live, but you can. Yo, that's sociopath. Like, it's Gacy. That is, you're doing this in front of everybody, but you got this whole separate person.
Yeah.
And you have no remorse. There's no remorse. Like, you don't give a shit. There's no fucking remorse in that situation. He is still broken about it. I seen him at the place we all hang out with. Motherfucker started crying again. Talking about, what if I go to therapy? I said, are you fucking high? What therapy? You guys don't need couple counseling. She needs a fucking, like to psychoanalyze her shit. Because the person that you met and the person that you went home to every day and put a ring on her finger, that is not the person. That is the version that you got. Meanwhile, all this shit was going on and you had no idea. But I said, dude, you're lucky she didn't bring home like syphilis.
Yeah.
Like, you're lucky she didn't bring home something worse. I said, has she ever been pregnant? He goes, no. I'm like, good, because that could have been somebody else's, but she ain't going to tell you that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yo, snake, dude. Snake didn't skip a beat. Just said, I think you're being ridiculous about this. You can stay as long as you want, you know, but he's just going to move in. Like, as if we were having a conversation about what we're getting for dinner. Like, that's how casual. So all the love, I love you, this and that. And again, from his point of view, real people, like real functioning people, can't understand that. He's like, but she loves me and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, she didn't. She's incapable of it. Because if she was, this shit wouldn't be going on. And she would have a little bit more empathy for you. Instead, it was like, well, this is the deal. Oh, and by the way, my dad owns the house. So you got to move all your stuff out anyway. Like, as cool as a cucumber, dog, like, as if I asked you to go get me McDonald's. Calm.
That's psychopathic shit.
I know people, not nice people. I haven't talked to them in a while, associated, right? There was one of my friends who's associated with a bunch of people. Homeboy was doing 25-2 for some. I don't know. I didn't fucking ask. Dude gets put in a cell. First, he was alone. Guy came in, his kid toucher. Dude is like, listen, I'm going to kill him. Get me out of here or I'm going to kill dude. Nah. It's no big deal. Okay. Now, this ain't jail. This is prison. Jail is like a holding cell. Prison is fucked up, right? About a week later, my friend's friend goes walking by the TV joint And homeboy is watching Sesame Street. A convicted kid toucher is now spending his time watching Sesame Street. Dude goes up to the, listen, I'm going to kill him. He's in there watching Sesame Street. No one thinks this is fucked up. Well, he can watch whatever he wants, blah, 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 you know, just because they don't fucking care. That night, he kills him in his sleep, beats him to death, then goes to another person that was convicted of the same thing and kills him too. When they brought him in for the interview, this motherfucker, as calm as it goes, well, I figured at that point, in for a penny, in for a pound, I just killed them both. Like, as if he was talking about, like, topography. So, can I go? Because I'm not going anywhere. Like, he's in for, like, but that kind of, like, yeah, well, like, Ed Gein, yeah, I ate him and then made a chair out of human faces. Like, that level of, like, what she did may not be on that level, but it's the same disconnect with reality. That you would come home every day and be like, oh my God, I missed you so much. Imagine all the times you have to think about how she said she missed you. She loved you. She sends you letters. She writes you shit, all that. And the entire time didn't mean a fucking thing. She was doing it with someone else. When she could have just told you, because you got an open relationship, that you could do the shit in the first place. That's sick, dude. That's sick.
Yeah, man. And the JWG reference there really is a suitable one, because one, you got the psychopathic tendencies there. Only a psychopath operates that way. And secondly, metaphorically, that whole time she's with him, she's wearing that clown makeup, man.
Yep. And as a matter of fact, in a comic, actually, of all things, there was a mini series about Harley, but she is a detective and Joker is a kid who grew up in an abusive household, right? She actually draws the difference, and I'm sure we'll get to this at a later date because I'm not going to remember. So fucking remind me, because it's a good one. She said, like, people like Gacy and Gein weren't psychopaths because they were methodical. Psychopaths don't plan shit. Like, when they found all the people buried under Gacy's house, he had a map. It's like, this one's here, the person we were looking for was there. Like, psychos don't do that. That's a different level. That's a crazy fucking, like, the sociopath question that cops, and they fucking transfer him over. Do you know the one about the guy in the funeral?
No.
Okay.
I may do. Maybe it's just not jumping at me at the moment.
Okay. Well, I'm going to find out if you have sociopathic tendencies. You ready?
Let's go.
Okay. So a friend of mine was a cop. This is one of the ones that they used to ask, and then they rotate them. They get them from psychologists, and they give them to people so they can weed people out. There, make sure I don't fuck this up. There's a girl at a funeral for her mom, okay? She's crying in the back, hates it, right? A guy comes in, she instantly falls in love. Like, oh my God, like passionate, head over heels, right? Doesn't say anything to him. A week later, she kills her sister. Why?
Because it's a sister's husband.
Okay, you are not a sociopath. That is the way that normal minds think. You want to know what the sociopath answer is?
Go on.
Because if she kills her sister, she gets to see the guy again.
Ah, yeah.
Yo, you would never think that. You would never think that because our brains are not wired that way. I thought I gave the answer. I'm like, oh, she's jealous because her sister. And my buddy's a cop. He's like, nope. Kills her sister. She gets to see the guy again. And I was like, but why would she? Because she knows if she kills the sister and homeboy showed up to the mom's funeral, he would show up to the sister's funeral too. That shit is fucked up. Can you imagine someone gives you that answer? You go, I didn't think about that. Now you know. Ask your friends that one. That's good. And you know what? Everybody listening, ask your wife. Ask a friend. Start that shit around.
And when Judge first posed that question to me, I was actually really, really surprised by the outcome of that. But it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So, yeah, that one bent my mind. I actually thought about that one for about a week following that episode. Well, our last clip comes from an episode published on the 12th of June, 2022, and it's called Negative and Positive Portrayals of TV Dads and How They Shaped Us. So this clip, we talk about whether Walter White was a villain or a hero for his family. Like, there's a fine line. Because obviously he was trying to save his family and make sure that they were looked after he died. But then at the same time, he's kind of destroying his family as well. What I love about Bryan Cranston, though, and we do talk about this in this clip, is that he's played two TV dads that I can relate to, and they're kind of like opposite ends of the spectrum, really. So, yeah, tell us what you think. Is Bryan Cranston one of the best TV dads out there? I'd like to hear your opinion.
I'm going to say this one, and then we're going to discuss it, because I relate to it just from an occupational thing and how quickly things can go south. Walter White from Breaking Bad. I'm stuck because dude gets cancer. Teacher insurance won't pay for that, which I know. I actually have good teacher insurance, but I understand what insurance says that they won't cover. So he goes into cooking meth. Everybody knows I'm not, it's a, no spoiler alert, show's been out for fucking 20 years. And it was just to make sure that his kids were taken care of when he died. Because it wasn't an if thing at that point. It was a when thing. And he hid it from everybody. But it's not like he's hiding it for no reason. He can't just be like, hey, guys, by the way, I cook meth. Shh, don't say anything. I'm also dying of cancer. Like, you can't do all that. And that's why I said I'm stuck, right? Because I would do the same thing. If it came down to me leaving something for him, I would do that by any means necessary. Because at that point, he's like, I'm dying of cancer. Got to do something or else kids are going to have no money. Listen, by any means necessary, without indicting and actually putting actual things out there, he would be left something without a doubt. But then the show turns into like, you know, the fantastic, then there's done play and they're jumping off trains and like all kinds of stuff. But dad wise in the beginning, dude, I'm with that. Even up to the decision to cook meth, dude, I'm with that. I'm absolutely with that because a dad's job, at least in my opinion, I know that like a family's job is everyone. I get that. But in my opinion, when you leave, you make sure you leave a better world, a better environment, a better situation for your son, for your daughter, whoever. And you make sure people are taken care of. You don't do that, in my opinion, you're a bum. You're a fucking bum.
Look, I don't know if I'd go cooking meth per se. I don't know whether I'd take it that far. But I do totally agree with you where I would do absolutely anything in order to make sure that my family and my kids are provided for. Because if I'm not there and I'm not working, I can't do that anymore. If I'm dead, I'm just pushing up daisies. But I think what he did was admirable to that point where he didn't give a fuck what the consequences were. He was just going to look after his family. And I think that's the way to fucking go. I don't think there's any other way you can go. Like, what do you do? Just accept fate and go, oh, I'm going to die and sit there and fucking mope? Like, you've got to do something.
That's what I mean. And then I think they pushed that fatherhood with him trying to take care of Jesse all the time. Because at that point, I think at one point in the show, the kids don't like the dad or they didn't or something. I don't know. It's been a while. It's been a while. Like, that was 4 girlfriends and a wife ago. So like, I don't remember clearly, but like, you can't just wilt away and let the money go. Because in my opinion, at that point, to save something, you do it yourself. And I'm dead ass about that. No hesitation. If it's like, hey, this is going to run you this much money. It has to come from somewhere. It's going to come from A, B, and C. You ain't going to see me in the morning. No way. No, because I'm not letting that rock. I'm going anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm going anyway. So at that point, go skydive, go swim with sharks. At that point, do whatever, because they will say, no, keep doing it. We'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. I don't know if I can let that go, knowing that there's an end. Like, some that you get, they're just trying to make you comfortable. That's it. Because there ain't shit you're going to be able to do about it. So if it's between me being comfortable and miserable, like, let's face it, fucking miserable. Comfortable in that situation is only so goddamn comfortable. And no, I'm out. I'm out like a G too. Like, I do something crazy.
And again, I don't know where it crosses the line as well, because I understand where he was coming from. He's not going to tell his family that he's dying and he's cooking meth and all this other shit. And as much as he's trying to look after his family, at the same time, he's slowly destroying it because, you know, his wife, Skylar, is like, where the fuck are you all the time? Why aren't you here with your family? Why aren't you doing this? He's dodging his DEA brother-in-law. You know, like, again, what a great storyline. A guy has cancer, decides to cook meth. His brother-in-law is on the DEA, and his son's autistic. Like, there are just so... Oh, and then, there, of course, a stay-at-home mother being his wife. Like, there's just so many fucking elements there that made that an interesting show.
It was so awesome, though, where they're standing there with that big pile of money, and he's like, you can't launder it? She's like, I can't. Like, we have too much money. I cannot say that we made, like, there's no way to put this on books that we made this much money. It just has to sit in the storage space. Like, I cannot cover this. I can't cover it. I was like, that's fucking awesome.
But speaking of Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
I think another good role that he did was Hal in Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes. That's right.
You know, and I think that's it's kind of interesting because he plays a very similar role in both shows, you know, but completely different ends of the spectrum in a way. So on one hand, you've got this guy that is dying and he knows he needs to find money for his family somehow, and so starts cooking meth. On the other hand, you've got Hal, who is a dad, the head of a lower class working class family, who are batshit crazy, dysfunctional as hell, but is somehow still the guy that holds it all together. You know, his wife is a rageaholic and completely dysfunctional and just flips a lid at the slightest thing. That being said, if I had three boys like the three they have, I think I'd be the same. But Hal always seems to come through in the end as like the voice of reason. And although he is still that stupid, bumbling dad, he always has that teachable moment for the kids. You know, one that stands out to me is when he was going to teach Malcolm how to skate, you know, and he's like, he tapes these paper wheels to his shoes. And he's like, but Dad, I thought I was going to skate. And he's like, yeah, but until you understand the fundamentals, we're not moving on to the next step. Like, if we're going to do something, let's do it properly, you know. And that, so I think Bryan Cranston, man, he's just one of those guys that he can just fit into almost any role and just nail it.
Well, years ago, there was rumors that they were going to peg him for Lex Luthor. I was in. I was fucking in. Him as Lex Luthor, I'm in. And then they decided to go because it was him or Denzel. I was like, both of those guys are scary as shit. Like, I'm with it. But I think the final call was they wanted to portray him as the younger one with, like, you know, the Converse on, crazy with the long hair and shit. And I never judge anybody before they play something. I'm hesitant. And I was like, all right, so Jesse Eisenberg, like, I get it. Like, dude's done a bunch of movies. I think I know what they're going for. Didn't really care for the portrayal. Like, his portrayal. I saw what they tried to do. Didn't really match up. But, yeah, dude, him is like, so can you imagine that shit?
That would be amazing.
That's a scary motherfucker. That's like Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
Anthony Hopkins put up a picture of him with a kitten smiling. I'm still scared of Anthony Hopkins. That motherfucker is petrifying. Like, Silence of the Lambs did a number on me. He did a number on me more than Buffalo Bill did. Like, it's just like, it was just like to know that much about everything. That's a scary dude. That's scary shit, man.
It was that moment where Jodie Foster walked in and he was like, hello, Clarice. And it's like, ooh.
Yep. And started telling her stuff about her and like, oh, you wear that cologne because your mama, blah, blah, blah. Didn't know shit about her, but he's a doctor. So, like, of course he's got, like, dude, man, that shit was so good.
Yeah. But again, I like, it's funny, until I saw Breaking Bad, I never saw Bryan Cranston as, like, a scary dude, you know?
Yeah, I know. But then you remember, like, they're actors, right? Like, they have range. It's just a lot of people are typecast sometimes. But sometimes when they come out of that typecast, you get Heath Ledger's Joker. Remember the uproar about that shit? Oh, this is bullshit. And he again, we all know, committed himself so much to the role. He took his own life because he couldn't break out of being the Joker. It's just like, let people act. Like, you know, that's what they do. So give people a chance. If you don't like it afterwards, you don't like it. Like, I said to give Jared Leto a chance, even though I didn't like the tattoos. And I like Jared Leto. I think he's a good actor. Didn't like his portrayal. Saw what they were going for. Like the crazy kingpin side of the Joker. Didn't like it. But when I saw the Snyder cut and the apocalypse scene at the end, and he took off that stupid voice and none of the tattoos are there, I'm like, that's the Joker we should have got.
To be honest, I haven't seen Suicide Squad at all. The Snyder Cut or the original. I haven't seen it because...
No, the Snyder Cut one was for Justice League. The Suicide Squad movie even was sold a little bit different when it first came out. And then they hokied it up.
Yeah, I saw Leto's portrayal on the trailers and all that sort of thing. And I was like, I can't get on with this one.
Well, you know what, dude? You take a chance, right?
Oh, that's it. I guess you've got to try it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But shit happens.
That's it, man. So what do you got left? So what do you got on the? By the way, congratulations on your wedding. I watched it on Zoom. That shit was hilarious.
Dude, thank you, man. That was awesome.
I told Sarah that before the vows, you guys were allowed to ask three questions. That shit was great. Because two were super silly. And I loved it. But the last one on both of them were really fucking heartfelt. Like, that shit was really nice, dude. Really nice. It was traditionally non-traditional. And I thought that was cool, man. I thought it was cool. I just enjoyed the whole vibe of it, especially because I and people listening know your experience from your first wedding. I wish there was videotape of that shit.
I know, right? I know. I wish there was videotape of that nightmare. In fact, I think there might be somewhere. I think I might be able to track that down. But yeah, no, dude, that wedding was like, I think it was perfect for us. We wanted something laid back, not so cliched.
Nailed it.
You know, and Alison the celebrant was awesome. Like, she came up with all the ideas, the questions, and the rock, paper, scissors. That was all her, man.
That was great. That was great.
Yeah, and the fact that we came up, you know, tied all three times, and she's like, okay, screw this. We're going to be here all day otherwise. But, yeah, look, man, like, the fact that you decided to sit up till 12:30 to watch it, dude, I was over the fucking moon, so I appreciate that.
Of course. That was a big deal. Seeing as we are a dad podcast, I'm dealing with a sleepy Pib right now. Pib, say hi.
How you doing, buddy?
No, I mean, say it so the fans can hear you.
Hi.
I am going to – right, that's it, right? We hit an hour? Here, hour roughly?
We're just about there anyway, man. We could sign it up early. That's fine.
Have to, because there's a whole routine before we got to go to bed, and he didn't go to bed without it. And I think it's awesome. So, like, what a way to put an end to a dad show than to tell you I'm leaving to go do dad stuff.
Well, ladies and germs, that is Best Bits number 3 under our belt, all done and dusted. Thanks for tuning in and checking out these Best Bits episodes over the last few weeks, because we're hoping it's going to help you go back down the rabbit hole. Of the 27, 28 odd episodes that Judge and I have done together, just to sort of listen to some of the fucking gold out there, you know what I mean? So, like I say at the beginning of the episode, next week, we are back with the beginning of Season 4, kicking off 2024, and we're excited. We are shit our pants excited. So make sure, tune in 9 p.m. Friday night, New Jersey time, or 1 p.m. Saturday afternoon here in Sydney, okay? And we're going to be live. We'll be live on YouTube, and hopefully we'll be live on the Facebook page on Facebook. But we're just going to play this one by ear at this point. We just hope you're going to join us. So with that, guys, we'll catch you later.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the show. You can follow the podcast as well on social media at Not So Secret Dad's Business, or on our website, notsosecretdadsbusiness.com. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please rate and review the show. It helps more than you realize.